everyone. It's been said that every quilt tells a story, and it's so true. But I also believe every quilter has a story to tell. I wanted to hear about the people behind these wonderful quilts and thought you'd enjoy hearing about their lives also. Welcome to A Quilter's Life. Shortly after I started quilting, my friend Bev and I took my mom to visit a friend of hers. During that visit, we had the opportunity to meet Nancy Crandall and see many of her wonderful quilts. I'm so happy that I had the privilege to interview Nancy and hear her story of making something beautiful during hard times. I'd like to welcome you to A Quilter's Life, Nancy. Thank you for being with me. Where were you born?
Where was I born? In Schenectady, New York.
What part of New York State is that?
Schenectady is right in the Albany, Troy area.
And you were raised in?
Indian name.
Uh-huh.
S-C-H-E-N-E-C-T-A-D-Y.
And you were raised there?
Yes, lived there until I got married. Mm-hmm.
What do you remember most about growing up in Schenectady?
Oh, the war.
Oh.
My father was an air raid warden. That was probably the most dramatic thing that I remember in growing up. Was, of course, the war started after I was born, and it ended when I was about 10 years old, I guess, when the war ended, somewhere around there. My brother and I used to sit out on the porch and watch the military airplanes fly by, and we had identification things so we could identify what kind of airplanes they were.
Wow. We don't really think about seeing part of the war here in the United States. At least my generation, we think of the war was overseas.
Right. No, it was quite real. Quite real for us as children. And, of course, then we had blackouts when everybody had turned their lights out. That's what my father did as a warden. He had to go around just make sure that there wasn't any light showing from any house because that was – Schenectady was the Alco company who used to make – that would make train engines. They switched over and were making tanks for the war.
Wow.
That was – probably a place that they might target for bombing, so that's why we had to go through air raid drills.
Wow. After there, where did you go from Schenectady?
Well, I went into nurses training in Albany for 3 years, and then I went to college out in Western New York and North Chi-Li, New York. For 2 years, then I got my degree. So then after that, I got married in 1958.
Uh-huh. Was that also in New York State?
Oh, yes.
So did you continue to live in New York for a while?
Oh, yeah. I'm trying to think. We lived in New York until after my husband retired. We moved to California in 1987, the fall of 1987, we moved to California.
Okay.
Lived in Roanoke Park, and that's where I met your mom.
Yeah. Let's jump back to what did you do before your husband retired? Did you work in the home, or did you work outside the home? You took nursing. Did you use that skill?
I did nursing until my husband finished college. I got my PhD, putting hubby through, that's what they called it.
Yeah.
And then after that, he worked for several things until he got his job. He got a job with the U.S. Department of Agriculture, Soil Conservation Service. He was a soil scientist. So when he got that job, he said, no more work for me. So But I had three children under school age before that, so.
Wow.
I was home with my father-in-law for a while after my mother-in-law died. So he was with him. So we lived with him for 2 or 3 years. That's when my husband got his job, then we moved to Western New York and were there for 1 year while he did his training. Then we moved back to Eastern New York to a little place called West Park, which is near Poughkeepsie, New York, if you know where that is. It's right on the Hudson River. I didn't do anything in the way of quilting. Nothing. I mean, I was making children's clothes and my own clothes for years. It wasn't until we moved to California that I really started doing any quilting, and that was 1987, so.
Okay, before we jump to quilting, are there any other crafts that you do or have done?
Oh, yeah. I like to do flower arranging. Are, you know, like silk flowers and that kind of stuff.
Uh-huh.
I make wreaths with pine cones and driftwood and, you know, you name it. My mother was my inspiration because my mother just did so many different things. Knitting, tatting, crocheting, all kinds of that kind of handwork. But gardening has been one of my main fun things to do ever since I was a little child. So, So gardening actually is what I'm doing most now.
If I remember correctly, you had quite a large garden.
Yes, it's been large, and I'm getting too old to do much more in the gardening. So I told my son we're going to have to cut back next year for sure. Unless the Lord comes sooner than I'm waiting for that.
Yeah.
I like getting out. I love being out. That's what I've been doing the last few days, is picking up nuts. And it's harvest time for pecans. So.
Oh.
But, yeah, gardening probably is, every place we moved, my husband was kind of a farmer-like person anyway. So gardening and canning and freezing was, that was just part of our life, supplying food for our table.
Yeah. Now back to the quilting. Who introduced you to quilting?
Me, myself, and I. Yeah, nobody introduced me. It was something that I just decided I'd like to do. My mother never did quilting. I mean, sewing was a big thing with my mother, sewing, knitting. But, you know, I wanted to make a quilt, and I made one for my future son-in-law when he went to college, and I think that was probably the first one that I made. That was probably still while I was in New York, come to think of it. I did make that one in New York.
Thinking back on that, not having all the knowledge, were you making the wider seams? And how did you go back? Did you get books at the library? Or?
Yes, I have books, and that was probably where I learned most of what I knew about quilting, was through books, reading and experimenting and finding trial and error. Yeah. I made a lot of doll clothes, too, come to think of it.
Yeah.
Like small seams, and that was, I had a daughter. She passed away before we moved to California. Oh, no, after we moved to California, excuse me. But, in her growing up, I was always making doll clothes, so that was a fun thing to do because I like dolls myself.
Yeah. Well, you must have gone through losing a daughter.
Oh, yeah. Of course, by that time, we were in California and she was in New York.
Mm-hmm.
It was, you know, we would make trips back to see her. Well, now I'm getting mixed up, too. She didn't, she wasn't diagnosed with cancer until they moved to Ohio. And so she and her husband were in Ohio at a church. Her husband was pastor. And yeah, that was pretty, it was a tough time. She was 3 years through that. And while she was going through cancer, my mother was invalided in some way. She had a stroke. She had 3 different strokes, so I was helping taking care of my mother as well as going back and helping my daughter because she had 2 young children. So,
wow.
A little bit of a stressful time, but the Lord got me through it.
Yeah. I guess it's been on my mind when people say, the Lord won't give you more than you can handle. And now I'm hearing what I think I agree with more. The Lord does give us more than we can handle, but we just need to lean on Him and let Him take care of it.
Exactly. Yeah. I had like 10 years were pretty stressful, but they weren't stressful for me because the Lord was carrying my burden.
Yeah.
Because if you really wanted to know all about those years that I did quilting, that were the years when I was going through probably the hardest part of my life was those years after we moved to California. So.
Yeah.
Let's see, we moved in 87, and in 94, my husband had his first bypass surgery, triple bypass, because he was having problems with his heart and with blood circulation. So that was 94. And then 97 or 98, my mother had her first stroke. She was able to go up and downstairs. Physically, she was, but it affected her brain. She didn't remember who we were, didn't remember even what her husband's name was.
Yeah.
And very little bit in speaking. She couldn't really talk very much because she anyway, and then right after that in 99, spring of 99, my daughter was diagnosed with breast cancer. And she went through chemo and radiation. And during that time, my mother also had 2 more strokes. The last one she had was in 2000, and she passed away in just shy of her 95th birthday in March of 2000. Okay, then, and Candy, my daughter, was supposedly cancer-free. The doctor told her she didn't have to come back for a while, and then in 2001, it was returned, I guess. I don't think it ever went away, but anyway, she was all through her body. And then she passed away in April 2002. And during that time, at the end of 2000, my husband went into renal failure. So he was on dialysis. And he was able to come off dialysis the year that our daughter died. So we were able to go and spend time with her without him being on dialysis, but he was still having having chest pains and problems with that. So it was just something we had to deal with every day. And then after Candy passed away that winter, my husband went back into renal failure, and so he was back on dialysis again. And that was the winter of 2002. And the winter of 2004, my father ended up getting very ill, and he passed away in June 2004. And 2 weeks after my father passed away, my husband again ended up going into surgery for another bypass surgery. He had 3 more bypasses and a number of stents. And so then things went along pretty well with less. Sometimes he would get infections, and then we'd have to go through treatments and everything like that. And we went down to Ironwood for a little trip, and he ended up, he was still on peritoneal dialysis, and he ended up getting a serious infection. And while we were there, ended up in a hospital down in Southern California for 2 weeks. And after that, he could no longer do peritoneal dialysis, and we had to do hemodialysis. So I was able to take, after 2 weeks there, I was able to take him up back home. And then I learned how to do hemodialysis at home. Didn't mm-hmm. want to do it at the center, which was 3 days a week. So we did it at home, and that was 6 days a week that we had to do it at home.
Yeah.
That's really when I did. I mean, I had been doing quilting, you know, all along through that time. But when I had to, you know, when doing home dialysis, it was, you hook him up in the morning, and it took 3 hours.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't have to have constant surveillance while he was on it, but I had to be available to
yeah.
put him on and to take him off.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when I got most of my quilting done. I couldn't go anywhere for very long. I mean, I went out and went to go shopping. That was about it. So that was 3 years that my husband was on before he passed away. So that was, you know, 3 years of being really unable to go anywhere. So quilting was my basic entertainment, you might say. The majority of my quilts were done during that period. So. And then after he passed, I mean, I was making quilts, but a lot of my quilts, I think there were 35, 36 of my quilts were made for Ironwood because they have retreats.
Uh-huh.
Women's retreats, men's retreats, couples retreats. You know, they do a lot in all their cabins, and they have a lot of cabins. So I never did get enough quilts for all their cabins. But anyway, I think I made at least 35 the 36 quilts for Ironwood.
Yeah, that was one thing I remembered you talking about when we visited you and getting to see the quilts that you had made for the camp.
Yes, yep. So I think my last one went down to Ironwood after I moved here because a family we helped support at Ironwood came to visit, and I sent my last quilt, but it was one that I'd made for our bed in California, which was king size.
Uh-huh.
And I no longer had a king size bed here, so I sent that one back to Ironwood too. So that was my last one for Ironwood. It's expensive to make quilts, especially large ones.
Yeah.
And so I didn't do them just for free, you know what I mean?
to right. give away.
I made, I think, about three for twin bed size for myself here, but now I don't even use that because twin bed, I've gone to a queen size bed, so now I'm trying to make a queen size one, but I've not gotten very far on it because I can't sit at a sewing machine as long as
yeah.
I used to be able to. My back gets to hurting.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it has taken kind of a back seat to gardening and to being outdoors.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I still try to make baby quilts for my little ones and for you know, church family, a couple is having a baby, I make a quilt for them for their shower. So that's kind of what I'm doing now.
Uh-huh. Do you still have your long arm?
Oh, yes, it sits there, but it's kind of collecting a lot of stuff. I don't know. I'm making this quilt, a queen-size quilt for the bed I have now, but I'm not even sure if I'm going to be able to remember how to use the machine because I haven't used it in a long time.
Do you
husband runs or not, I don't know. I know I need to oil it, but, you know, that's one of the things I'm not sure of until I get around to it, so.
Yeah. That sounds like a winter project.
Yeah, except out where my machine is very cold. It used to be the garage, and it's made into a room, and it's cold out there.
Okay.
Oh, anyway, yeah, it would be a nice winter project if it was warmer.
Yeah. Do you have a favorite quilt?
Well, I have several. I do enjoy making what you call scrap quilts because I've got so many scraps. My cupboards are full of small pieces. So I like to make scrap quilts, and I actually made one for ironwood, and my granddaughter liked it so much that she wanted one for her wedding, so I made her one. But it was a basket weave, if you know what that one is. But it was using from light colors in the middle to dark colors on the outside, kind of, and burgundies in it, and she liked that. So I think that was one of my favorites. But I guess the last one that I made for our king size bed that I sent iron, I think that was probably one of my favorites. It was. I like turquoise, and it was done in those kind of colors.
Yeah.
But I just have a lot that really came out nice and I liked.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's kind of hard to say which was my most favorite, but
yeah.
I have seen quilts that, actually, I have one of my former students. She is a quilter, and she has made some gorgeous quilts. And I know that Tammy Bennett has made quilts that I envy a little. But, you know, I never really got, I don't know. I just made what was the simplest and which was the easiest to do, so my quilts are really fancy ones. So.
Did you have a favorite tool to work with?
A favorite tool?
Yeah.
Ooh. Yeah, well, yeah. The rotary cutter is wonderful. I'd never be able to do the quilts that I did without it. Yeah. No, every rotary cutter, mat, and, all those little things that make it much easier to cut are Oh, there was one month, I'm trying to think, there was one month when we lived in California. Now I can't remember how many quilts I made that. In one month, I made 4 or 5 quilts, I think, in one month.
Wow.
That was a regular machine there. Well, that was a banner month, I guess we might say.
I would say so.
And those were all fair-size quilts, too. I did quilting, machine quilting, I had a friend of mine, her daughter-in-law, made quilts, and she would bring them down to me to quilt. So I think I did about 3 quilts for her.
Uh-huh.
I didn't make quilts, but I quilted them. So, but machine quilting, you know, in about 3 hours, you can do a big quilt in about 3 hours.
Oh, wow.
Which is a lot better than hand quilting.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I really enjoy quilting.
Yeah. Do you have a favorite part of the process?
Yeah, finishing it, putting the binding on, getting it done. You know, actually, I was thinking this morning, I have 3 quilts. 2 of them are in the cupboard, never finished. Mm-hmm. And, of course, I'm starting now. Yeah, I wished I could get a couple of those done. But
yeah.
In the cupboard, and, you know, I think you lose interest when you forget about doing them for a while, you just lose interest in doing them. So the best that I do is when I get going and just do it and finish it. And like I say, the last stitches on the binding is the crowning moment, which I like. See a project done.
Well, thinking back, what was your worst quilting experience?
Actually, quilting and having my machine not quilt correctly. I would have problems with it, with my thread. You didn't have the right kind of thread, and you didn't have the tension correct. It was frustrating, very frustrating. Mm-hmm. I don't know, like I say, it depends on the thread, and I think forever while doing quilting, I was always checking to see that the quilt, that the bottom thread was, had the right tension, or the top thread had the right tension to make a neat thing. Otherwise, it bunched up on the bottom, and you had to end up taking it all out and starting over again. So that was probably the most frustrating part of it, was with the machine quilting and having it not, having the machine not quilt correctly. But that was probably my problem.
Those machines sometimes just like to go out of whack.
They do. But I say, I mean, I was told, I talked with a quilter at a quilting fair we had in Santa Rosa, and she told me a lot of it was probably my thread. So I buy my thread from her, and then she moved to Alaska, and then she came back and was living locally, but she was getting rid of all her thread, so I bought all the thread I could find I needed at that time. So I still have some of that thread left, but, you know, it's running low. That's another reason why I'm probably not doing a lot of quilting, is that right where I live, it takes me half an hour, three quarters of an hour to drive to some place where I can buy the right kind of thread.
Yeah.
I can't even buy good, like Gutermans. I like them the best. And I can't get any of that like at Hobby Lobby. And Hobby Lobby's thread just does not work for me at all.
Yeah.
So that's another deterrent for doing much in the way of quilting now, is just finding the thread to do it with.
Yeah.
I guess if I was really into it, I could probably find it easier. But I don't do a lot of driving now. I mean, I can drive home and get my groceries. I understand your mom isn't driving anymore. So
right. So I know how that goes.
Yeah. I like my sewing machine. I have two of them. One was supposed to be quilting, and I could do. There's things that I would like to have done that I haven't done, and I wanted to be able to do machine embroidery on locks to make quilts with, and I never really got the knowledge enough to do all that and you can get things off the internet, and I just didn't have the opportunities to at the right time to get really started on doing that kind of thing. I got things out the other day, and I said, oh, look at all these beautiful things that I did, but I did them I'm trying to think what you call it. Felt. There you go. Felt.
Oh, okay. Felt. Yeah.
They're felt, and you can't use them on the quilt, so.
No.
But anyway, that would be something that I had... could wish that I had done more on, because I do have a machine that can make some large, some very large machine embroidered pieces.
Uh-huh.
My life got interrupted about that time.
What tips would you give to others?
Well, it's just a basic thing. Make sure you've cut accurately, make sure your seams are accurate, because it makes a whole big difference in how your quilt comes out. I think that's the basic thing in quilting, is, you know, precision is important.
Yeah.
Just probably get all the knowledge you can, because that helps. I guess that's about it.
You had mentioned when I visited that time that I had mentioned quilt as you go. And you suggested not doing it that way because they didn't hold up as well. So I have taken that bit of advice.
Oh, that's true. In fact, the quilt, I have a quilt on, well, actually, I put two twins together to make a king again, and I have it, one of, and that was quilt as you go, and it's never been finished on the bottom. It doesn't look good. I had a friend that came to, and she was going to turn it up to look at the bottom, and I said, don't do that. Yeah, don't do that. It doesn't look good. Well, that's actually one of the quilts that are in my cupboard that I've never finished is the same way. As you go, and I never did finish it because it, I don't know, I think it's harder to do that than it is just to make the quilt and quilt it on the machine.
Yeah.
Or even quilt it. Even hand quilting is probably is not as frustrating as trying to do quilt as you go. Some people make it easy, but it's not that easy, for me anyway.
You mentioned hand quilting a few times. Did you use the hand quilt before you got your long arm?
Yes, I did. There wasn't, yes, I made a king-size quilt for the camp director's wife at Ironwood.
Mm-hmm.
A log cabin. She picked out the colors and it came out beautifully. And I hand quilted that, but you know, it's like stitching the ditch. But it takes a toll on your hands. You can't do it for too long.
No.
I did that in just a few days. I did that king size.
Really?
Yes. Yeah. I mean, I was limited in my time there, so. So anyway, yeah, I got it. She's still using it, so I guess it's well held off.
Wow.
But that's what I do, the little quilts, like the baby quilts now. I do that, but I've got arthritis.
Wow.
Gardening doesn't help my hands either. Sometimes I said, maybe I shouldn't be doing this because I won't be able to hand stitch much anymore if I keep doing this. Only a week.
Yeah. It does keep you busy, doesn't it?
Oh, yes. The weeds took control of the garden this year, so it's a mess. This was a good year for gardening. Here it wasn't, anyway. So our garden didn't do that well. I mean, it started out with hot spring. You know, we hardly had any spring at all. It just turned right into summer and temperatures in the 90s, and that's not good for spring planting.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, and then a very hot summer, and I just can't work out. Side when it gets hot, so I would get up at like 6 o'clock in the morning to get out and do whatever I could do until it got warm.
Yeah.
But now it's been beautiful for a few days. And we've had some rain, and the Lord has brought a good wind, and the nuts are coming out of the trees. So we've been busy picking up pecans. So
okay.
And then when the leaves all come down, they hide the nuts, so I end up raking. So I've been raking my yard and raking in front of my son's yard so we can find the nuts. So I've gotten my cardio, upper cardio workout with raking.
Wow. How many trees do you have?
How many pecan trees? Well, they're probably about 30 on the property, but they're not all producing very well. So,
okay.
As my son clears more in the woods, and that's where I've been doing a lot of raking in other years, I'm cleaning up where he's pulled out vines, and I mean, down here, the vines, we've got wood vine, we've got poison ivy, we've got a thorny vine that climbs up into the trees, and so he's done a lot in cleaning them out, and that's the area that he's cleaned out where I have done a lot of raking.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's a fight with the squirrels, too, so. the squirrels, they say just a few squirrels will clean a tree of nuts in no time at all. So
yeah,
my Mark gets out in the morning and early morning and watches, and he shoots a lot of the squirrels out of the trees, and then the hawks come along and they find a feast. So I think gardening and farming is a tough life for farmers, because their life depends on the weather.
Yeah.
And sometimes the weather isn't too good, but the Lord has promised he'd always take care of us, so that's what we
right.
rely on.
Yes.
The Lord's provision. So if our garden doesn't do that well, usually we have enough to can up and to do what we need. We don't have enough extra to share with the folks at church like we'd like to, but for those who are older or don't have room for a garden, we've always tried to help out. I've told my son that now it's just me. I'm going to raise a garden for him.
Well, thank you so much for visiting with me.
Well, you're very
really
welcome.
Enjoyed this.
Well, I've enjoyed it too. Always enjoy sharing.
Hope you enjoyed this episode of A Quilter's Life. You can find more stories on aquilterslife.com or subscribe on Apple Podcasts or Google Podcasts, so each episode will be downloaded automatically. Thanks for listening.